I'm going to ask this morning, if you will, to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, the third chapter. 1 Samuel, chapter number 3, page 281 in your Water of Life pulpit Bible. 1 Samuel, chapter 3. By way of background, let me just share with you what has happened before the events that appear in this third chapter. Samuel, the name Samuel means asked of God. And Samuel was the first child, a miraculously born child. I say miraculous in that he was an answer to prayer. His mother Hannah, his father Elkanah. The mother Hannah had not been able to conceive, and she prayed and asked God for a child and promised the Lord that if he would grant her request, that she would give him to the Lord all of his life. And the Lord did answer that request, opened her womb. She bore the child, named him Samuel because he had been requested of God. It was an answer to prayer. And so she gave him to the Lord, and she took him to Jerusalem, and she gave him as a young lad after she had weaned him into the care of the priest at that time, whose name was Eli. And Eli had Eli was an older man. He had some grown sons who were really wicked young men, and we've preached from the second chapter in times past. We're not going to deal with that this morning. But Samuel was in the care and the nurture and the training of this old priest Eli. And this is the setting for the story. Chapter 3, verse 1. And the child, Samuel, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word, now watch this, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. In other words, sometimes we'll read that and not really understand what is being communicated here. Because of the traditional language, some of you perhaps will remember this from. I guess the older generation may remember it. Some of you who remember your grandparents, great grandparents would perhaps remember it. My grandparents used a word that we rarely use today to describe what's being described here. The word is dear. To describe something that was rare, or scarce, or very expensive. And they would say, the tomatoes are really dear this year, meaning that they were very scarce, hard to find, and when you did find them, it was very costly. Now, that's the idea that's being portrayed here. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. It was dear. It was scarce. It was rare. We have so much of God's word available to us. But in that day, the word of God was a rare occurrence. And it says there was no open vision. There was no regular revelation of the Word of God. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, that is at night, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, in other words, just before the lights went out, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he, Samuel, ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And Eli said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. So you can see that Samuel did not know the Lord's voice. The Lord speaking to him, but the word of the Lord was rare. And he'd not experienced this before. And when God called to him, he thought it was the priest, Eli. He heard a word audible, Samuel. And he ran to Eli and said, Okay, what is it? Here I am. Verse 6, the Lord called yet again to Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Go back to sleep. I didn't call you. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. I want you to remember this. I think we've got a lot of folks in this condition today who have not heard the voice of the Lord and have not yet had the voice of the Lord revealed unto them. That was Samuel's condition. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Now notice that God didn't just speak to him once. He kept speaking. Hallelujah. Oh, church. God is no respecter of persons. See, you've got to understand that when we read these stories, I grew up thinking, well, you know, the Bible is full of stories about special people. But the Bible is full of stories about ordinary people. In fact, even the great man Elijah, James tells us about Elijah that he was a man of like passions, just like us. When we read these stories, these are not just history. We have to realize that God is giving us a glimpse into how he deals with people. There's information here for us about our relationship with God. And God being no respecter of persons means that he will not treat one person in a way that is more special than a way than he would treat others. And so as we read the story about this child, Samuel, even I think it's curious, I think it's beautiful that the Lord should tell us this story, not about the great old priest Eli, but he should tell us this story about a child, Samuel. God wanted to speak to this boy. And so the Lord called him the third time, verse 8. And he arose again the third time and went to Eli and said, "Here am I. For thou didst call me." And then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. I'm trusting today that this message may be in a form the words of Eli to someone in this congregation. Eli knew then that it was the Lord. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go and lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." I'm listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and guess what? The Lord came the fourth time and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel," and He goes on, what he said is not important for what I'm discussing with you this morning. And so let's skip down to the 15th verse. Basically, the Lord tells Samuel about problems that he's having with Eli and what's going to happen in Eli's family. Verse 15, Samuel lay until the morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Apparently, this was his duty. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. He was afraid to tell Eli what God had spoken to him because it was bad news. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he, Eli, said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, that would be, we would say, from Maine to Florida, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. This is the great prophet of Israel, Samuel. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. Now listen to this. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. I want to read that verse again. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. God wants to reveal himself to his people. He wants to have communication with us. He wants to speak to us. How do we know that? We know it from the beginning of the book to the end. Let's talk about just the beginning for a moment. When God created the man, you remember what he did? He took some dirt from the earth and he formed it and he fashioned it from the... You know that our bodies are made from ordinary elements. When we die, how do we know that? When we die, we just return to earth again. We just become dirt, don't we? We become dust. We are, the scientists tell us, they've even valued the chemicals in the human body as being worth X amount. There are no special things in us. We are just like you find in the earth, the various chemicals that make up the elements of the earth. God took the dust and the dirt of the earth, he took the chemicals of the earth, and he formed them together, and he made a man. Then he put the man in the garden, and then what did he do every day? He came into the garden in the cool of the day to do what? To talk to his man, to talk to his woman. He wanted to have fellowship with them. He wanted to have communion with them. He didn't just put them on the earth, and then he was up there in the heavens just watching the earth rotate and watching his creation spin around on its axis, and he was just observing that from afar. That is not God's purpose in creation. God's purpose was to make a family with which he would have fellowship. He would have relationship. And that means communion, that means talking, that means words, that means voice, that means personal, intimate relationship. With your own children, don't you want to talk? Don't you want to have communication with them? Of course you do. Don't they want to have communication with you? Of course they do. In that day, this story tells us that the word of the Lord was scarce, was rare. Something had happened to the people since the time of Adam, when God was communing with his creation every day in the cool of the day. They had regular fellowship. Something had happened between then and here. We know what that is. We know it's sin. We know that that breaks the relationship between man and God. But we know that the new birth recreates that relationship and restores us to fellowship with him. And we should expect the communion to be restored as well. God takes the initiative. In this case, he speaks to Samuel. He calls to him three times. Samuel does not know the voice of the Lord. Verse 7. Samuel didn't know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord or the voice of the Lord revealed unto him. I believe there are a lot of Christians in that condition. I believe there are many of God's people who love God, who are saved by their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but do not have an intimate personal relationship with him that involves communication. I believe there are lots of Christians who talk to God. How do we talk to God? What's that called? It's called generally prayer, but who've never heard God speak to them. And I've got to say to you that there is absolutely no experience that you will ever have in this life that is more wonderful than hearing the voice of your Heavenly Father, especially when he calls you Kathy, Pat, Wida, Randy, Shannon. To know that he knows you by name and he knows exactly what's going on in your life. What I'm trying to encourage you this morning is that God wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you more personally and more intimately than in just the reading of the book. Now, I know that when I open the book, that I can have communion with God. I know God can speak to me out of the book. Hopefully, God will speak to me through the voice of the teacher or the voice of the pastor, the preacher. But God's heart longs for more than that. And so does mine. He wants a personal intimacy with you. And that means speech. That means conversation. That means words. That means talk. I don't want you to live the rest of your life, live your entire life, and never have known the word of the Lord for you personally. And this passage I read to you this morning as a way of encouraging you. My own view is, I believe God has spoken to probably all of us. He's spoken to us, but many of us don't know how to hear. And we're not listening. We don't understand. See, most of the time, how many of you have had God speak to you in what you would call, maybe I better describe it this way. God has spoken to me in what I would call an audible voice. I don't know whether it was audible or not, but it was so definite that it might as well have been audible. A few times, just a few times, I've heard the voice of God in that audible way. How many of you would say, yes, I've heard God's voice in that way? Okay, a few of you. Most of the time, God speaks with us, He just communes with the inner man. He just speaks to us in our spirit, not here, but in our spirit. We just know what He said, we understand, we're communicating, we're having intimate fellowship with Him. There's that kind of speaking. But I believe that there are many Christians who live their entire life and probably will and maybe never know the difference. Pray faithfully, love the Lord, give, worship, do all the things that a Christian ought to do, but never know the thrill of hearing their Father's voice and knowing that God has spoken to me. What I'm trying to do today is I want to encourage you to anticipate, expect, and look for this wonderful expression of God's love for you. Turn with me to, look again, before we leave 1 Samuel 3, you may want to read this again. I read it over and over again. Every time I read this passage, I see something new in it. The 21st verse, let's just reemphasize that before we move to the New Testament. For the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel how? By the word of the Lord. God revealed Himself to Samuel as He spoke with him. Now turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter. Now this story, I think, rather than tell you the story, I think I'll just read it. The story is familiar. We may skip a verse here and there as we go. But I'm going to begin at the first verse. This is the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples did, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and He must needs go through Samaria in order to get there. Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, I have to stop there and say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for the revelation that You get weary. That there were times when You were here on the earth that You know how it feels to get tired. He really was tempted in every manner like as we are. These little phrases and indications and so on are important. So He was wearied with His journey, and He sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour, about noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto Him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto Him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands. and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what, ye know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now jump down to the 39th verse. Now you see what's happening here. The woman meets Jesus at the well and they have a conversation and Jesus is teaching her and instructing her. She realizes who he is. She goes back to the city and she tells the men all about him. They get excited and they go out to see him. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I ever did. So by their testimony, by her testimony, she brought them the word of the Lord, didn't she? She had it for herself. She'd heard it for herself. She brought it to them. They listened and they received. They believed on him. But they hadn't heard his voice themselves. That is where I believe many good people are. Watch this. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And here it is. And then said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, what's in my heart today? I don't know how to communicate this to you exactly. But what I'm trying to get across to you today is that every person who claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way ought to hear his voice for themselves. I want to create in you, if you've never heard his voice, I want to create in you a sense of dissatisfaction. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I don't want you to be satisfied to know who Jesus is because of what I said. I don't want you to be satisfied with knowing who Jesus is because of what someone else told you. How many of you know God has no grandchildren? He has only children. See, oftentimes, moms and dads, we don't understand this really. But there's a point in time with our children, our young people, they need their own personal encounter with God. See, they can't make it on your faith. And oftentimes we have faith crises in the lives of our children. We have faith crises in the lives of our young people because they have made it all their life on your relationship with God. They've made it all their life on your word. Yes, He spoke to me, and I know that He is the Christ. He has revealed Himself to me. But the kids never got that. And we never challenged them to have that kind of personal, intimate experience with Him for themselves. In fact, if they did, it would surprise us that a child could hear and comprehend the word and the voice of the Lord, as Samuel did. And so, when our children get old enough to begin to make decisions for themselves, They have a crisis of faith because they do not have this personal, intimate revelation of who God really is. Their revelation is based on what someone else told them. And no matter how well-meaning that is, it's not enough. It won't get them through. You may be in that state. You were raised to know that Jesus is the Christ, that He's the Son of the living God, that when He died on this cross, He gave His life's blood for the salvation of your soul, that your sins are washed away. You understand all of that? You believe all of that? You've even had a born-again experience. But you have never experienced this. John 14. And verse 23. I've got to tell you this, beloved, nobody can tell you like Jesus can tell you. Nobody can make an impact on your life like He can make on your life. You may have 1,000 witnesses in your life, but it only takes His witness to convert you. John 14, 23. Look at the promise. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We can have and should never settle for anything less than a personal, intimate life of communion. I don't mean that God's going to speak in our ear every minute of every day. I don't mean that every day is going to be a day in which you're going to hear the audible voice of God, because I don't know of anybody in which He communes that way. In fact, the proverb says that it's the spirit of the man that's the candle of the Lord. God's going to give us our leading through the spirit of God, or through the spirit of man, by the spirit of God, in the inner man. But what I'm saying to you is, God wants to have an intimate level of communion with you, and I'm concerned that many Christians have never experienced the voice of God. You've never known God to speak to you. Now, what is there anything we can do about that? I mean, if you're in that condition, maybe you're one of these young people I'm talking about. Maybe you're an adult. You love the Lord. You live for Him, but you've never known this kind of intimate fellowship. I told you today I want to disquiet your spirits if you're in that condition. I told you today I want to upset you. I told you that I want to persuade you to be dissatisfied with the closeness and the intimacy of your relationship with God if you've not experienced this for yourself. Jeremiah chapter 29, and I've known some pastors through the years who could always identify the problems but could never give me a solution, and I always hated that. You know, you come and you sit in the chair, you sit in the pew, and you all you do is when you go out, you just wind up with more problems than you came in with. And I don't want to create a problem for you today that doesn't have a solution. So if you've been concentrating on the problem, now listen double hard for the solution, all right? Jeremiah chapter 29 and we should do verse 11, 12, 13 in through there. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Do you know God's thinking about you? The psalm says that the thoughts He has towards you every day are more in number than the sands of the sea. We talk about the omnipresence of God. We're told that He will never leave us and never forsake us. No matter where we are, He's present with us. He's intimately involved in what we're doing. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. I don't want to do you wrong. I don't want to make trouble for you. To give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Now, what are his conditions for intimate fellowship? What are God's conditions for intimacy and fellowship with him? You've got to seek him, and you've got to seek him how? With all your heart. That means you can't have anything else going on at the same time. So you don't seek him along with while you're watching the evening news. You don't seek him while you're doing something else. He says, you seek me with all of your heart when you really want to hear from me. I tell you, when the first time I heard from God was when I was desperate to hear from him. If I didn't hear from him, I was going to die. And I would have rather died. You say, Pastor, do you mean that? I absolutely do. I absolutely do. I would have rather died than not heard from him. I know that's why I heard. You will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Most of us are really seeking him. We love him, we're serving him, but we're really seeking him half-heartedly. So even when we come together to worship, we don't get into worship because we don't like the song. Well, you know, I can't worship with a song. That's really silly. I mean, some songs are easy to worship with than others, but worship really starts where? It doesn't start at the piano. See, worship starts in here. And sometimes you have to press through things. Well, I don't like the song, or the pianist hit the wrong note, or the leader didn't sing it right, or the prayer, or the pastor, I don't know what he's doing up there, you know, or I can't read the transparency. They move the transparency up and down on the thing, and I can't follow the, what are they doing? Or, you know, I'm sitting in the wrong, you know, we have all of these interferences, all of these interruptions. But worship really starts here, doesn't it? See, and we seek him with all of our heart, and we find intimacy. There's a passage, I was going to share this, but I don't think I will today. There's a passage in the Old Testament. It comes from Exodus 19 and Exodus 20. And Moses, when he came down from the mount, God told him to gather the people together around the mountain at Sinai. And when God spoke, his voice was so frightening, the people said to Moses, they begged Moses, please tell God not to say it, not to speak, because we can't stand the sound of his voice. I can't imagine being in that condition, you know. And then over in the book of Hebrews, the writer of the book of Hebrews says that when God was speaking from Sinai, he spoke with such a voice that the people, they shook, and they said, please, you know, don't say any more. We can't stand your voice. But he said, now God is speaking from heaven under this new covenant. Hebrews chapter 12. And that message, while it may not be a positive message for the unbeliever, ought to be a message of tremendous encouragement and tremendous excitement and tremendous exhilaration for the believer. Now, I've got to say to you that I think I did say to you earlier that I had only heard God's voice on a few occasions in what I would consider to be an audible way. But I have intimacy with him. Communion with him that I could not live without. And I want all of God's people to experience that for themselves. The only way that it will happen, I shouldn't say the only way, there are other ways. In fact, here with Samuel, God took the initiative there and drew him. But it seems that in my experience and in the experience of many that I know, it happens initially, at least, in a time of desperation, and when a person is really seeking with all of his heart. And I've got to say to you that when you have heard the voice of God for yourself, like these Samaritans, what did they say? We believed when you told us what he said, but now we have heard him for ourselves. Is that what they said? Now we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ. Now, if you have had that experience, I don't believe anybody could ever shake your faith. If your children have had that experience, your little Samuels or your grown-up Samuels, if your kids have had that experience, maybe they've had it at an altar, at a church altar, maybe they've had it at a youth camp, maybe they've had that beside the bed when you've prayed with them at night. It doesn't matter when, but if your young people have heard the voice of God, they will not be shaken by the voice of the world. So I hope that some of you are dissatisfied today. Would you stand with me, please?